Welcome back to Front Page 94.7, The Pulse. John English entertained us there before with Hollywood 7, a magnificent tune. Now on the line, as promised, to discuss all things China, Leonie McKeon, a regular with us. Leonie, welcome back and good morning.
Good morning, Rob. Great to be back.
Yeah, it is great. There's so much happening in this space, so I was just letting our listeners know that it goes back a couple of years to Scott Morrison announcing some sort of investigation into the commencement of the virus in Wuhan, some trade sanctions put on, and ever since then it's been argy-bargy, stare across the table, bang scratch, looking awfully silly, and things aren't getting any better.
No, absolutely right. Yes, considering what's happening with the Olympics, in Winter Olympics in Beijing. Boycotting?
What? It's not so much the athletes, it's only the diplomats. What would that really mean in the scheme of things? Because I saw an athlete interviewed last night and they thought, well, it won't make any difference to us. We don't see any diplomats anyway. So what does that mean? Is that more just a pompous chest-beating reaction?
Okay, well, you know, I was thinking about this, Rob, before this interview, and you know, it seems historically that Olympic Games have always been political anyway, all right? There's always been something political in an Olympic Games somewhere. So there's two streams. You've got the politics going on, you know, the diplomatic situation, and we've got the athletes. You're absolutely right. It's a little bit like, you know, we've got the politics going on with China, but we've also still got trade. So we've still got businesses happening while this is going on. So there's two layers. However, these big events have always been situations in China where there is an opportunity to develop a relationship. So, for example, years ago there may have been, you know, a famous ballet in China or a sports event or a tennis event. So diplomats get the best seats and they use that time to sit there and talk to each other and develop relationships. It's always been that kind of thing in China. So by you know, the boycotting situation, I think we've really now, you know, stamped on that opportunity to develop that relationship, because I see that could have been a perfect opportunity for, you know, for diplomats to go over there and start the relationship happening again, but it's not going to happen. China isn't happy about it, obviously. Well, I don't think they'd have smiling faces, because this is really another nail in the relationship, and it seems that we are looking for things to put nails in this relationship all the time. We don't seem to be looking for situations where we can actually develop the relationship. So that's how I see it. I don't see it as a good situation, and I don't think it is, you know, a bit of fluff on the top and argy-bargy. It's real, and it could be quite serious, because China is not happy about this at all.
Now, from where we sit, again, we talk about the size of our nation compared to China. I know the trade is reasonably large, but in comparison to America, who did this first, would China be more concerned about America doing it, or was the better basis to their starting relationship mean that Australia's continuing snub, if you like, will have more effect?
Well, it's really the, you know, this alliance with America. America does it, Australia does it. It's almost like we're the deputy sheriff.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, how long are we going to be doing this for? Because, I mean, we are not America. We are Australia, and we are small. We are not powerful. We haven't had the reputation of being an extremely powerful country. We've had the reputation of having very high quality boutique products. We've had the reputation of being very friendly. And so, you know, is China that worried about Australia or compared to America? Well, I think that the whole situation has really ruffled their feathers. You know, just the fact that Australia has gone over and to America and said, okay, well, you know, we'll do this too. It's a little bit like we're following their footsteps all the time. And I am concerned that at any point, if we get left alone without America, we don't have any power to, you know, to do anything really with, you know, with China.
Leonie, there is a couple of concerns. Certainly the report coming back on China's human relations are really appalling, actually, with some of the treatment of minorities over there. We had the recent situation with a tennis player who I'm not quite sure whether she's been found or has disappeared, but it's quite concerning, and it sends a bit of a chill down the spine of us over here. So the Australian government, I guess, has to do something, but when they are so small and sort of, as you said, attached to America in a funny kind of way, is it the right thing to do to try and act individually, or would we be better in an international part of an international collective to send a message to China that they need to improve in this area?
Well, we have been sending this message for a while, Rob. And, you know, there are several messages here, and absolutely no one agrees with the way that people are being treated in China, in that area. However, I noticed that New Zealand are also not sending diplomats, but their reason for that is COVID. So we have kind of gone straight to the source, whereas New Zealand have gone around it a bit. Now, maybe we would have been better to go around it. I think that, you know, we're using this situation to directly hit out at China, and this has been going on for a while. You know, we've heard about the people in Xinjiang province for a very long time. And it has been continuing. It is the same as the situation with Taiwan. You know, we've heard about that in the last couple of weeks. That goes up, that goes down. I was living in Taiwan in 1986 to 1991. The situation with Taiwan, China, you know, taking over Taiwan, was there and very real then. Now, that was a long time ago. So, you know, we keep sort of fighting out at China about the things that are bad about China. We're not celebrating anything that's good about China. There are things that are good about China. And I think we're continually sort of focusing on these. And, you know, we talk about getting the relationship back on track. Well, if you continue to, you know, to put a nail in someone about the way that they're behaving, it is not going to get our relationship back on track. It's almost like we get the relationship back on track and then we can start to talk diplomatically about the situation that we see, what the world sees, instead of just going, rightio, well, we're going to boycott the games in Rara. I really don't think this is going to do anything. This is not going to stop what China is going to do. All this will do is ruffle their feathers. And by ruffling their feathers, we lose, as our exporters have lost, as a lot of people have lost in, you know, in Australia. So it's almost like we're in this boxing ring with someone who's got very large muscles and we're pretending to have these very large muscles and we don't.
I sense that the concern for the government, although they speak about the human rights abuses of the Muslim minorities that are allegedly being treated as slaves for production of some fabrics in sections of China, I think it's well known. But I imagine on a larger scale, it's the Taiwan issue would be the biggest one that would be concerning America and Australia. Would that be fair?
I would say so. Now, the issue also, you know, this is very politicised because in a very short space of time, I believe, we've got a federal election coming up. And by you know, saying, you know, we're going to protect Taiwan, we're going to, you know, align ourselves with America if China does this to Taiwan. It's almost like putting a scare tactic into the Australian public.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that, because when we go back all the way back to the infamous baby overboard saga that Peter Reith and John Howard sort of concocted, every election since there's been an issue of create a fear and then offer a solution. And it's pretty obvious that China is going to be a major part of the coalition's election campaign strategy on how to deal with it. It's just a matter of how it will play out. So how do you see it playing out?
Well, if the... depends. I mean, if the government want to put fear into the public and that's the way that they're going to get re-voted, they will protect, you know, they will protect us, which is what happened years ago, maybe it'll work. But it's not real. You know, we don't have to be afraid of this. You know, it's this situation has been going on for a very long time. And, I mean, Xi Jinping says he wants to get Taiwan back, I think, by the year 2024. And that may be his big thing that he does. But, you know, it's you know, what is going on here? Because, you know, we're continually sort of saying, well, you know, Tony Abbott's over there saying things, and, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and that we're going to, you know, we're going to protect Taiwan. We can't have this being done to Taiwan. I mean, is it really, how much of our business is this? Because we don't really have to align ourselves with America for Taiwan, and we're just, it's almost like we're just getting ourselves into this deeper and deeper and deeper hole, which is going to be difficult to get out of, and we're going to be the ones to lose, because, you know, we won't contain China. China won't be contained. It's better that we learn how to work with China, you know.
Yeah, just on that theme, let's take your experience in this particular field. If a strategy of the coalition is to create the fear, put yourself in Anthony Albanese's head. If Leonie McKeon was leader of the opposition, what would be your counter-strategy to try and keep the calm and make sure that people aren't just dismissing all other election issues and voting purely because they're scared of China?
My counter-strategy would be to act and to talk less, and to look at ways to understand China. I would be talking about how I am learning about China, how I would like to understand China, and by doing this, we are then able to somehow link back with China. The relationship won't be the way it was, because nothing is when you go back. Even if you go back and you've had a friend that you've fallen out with, the relationship won't be the same. It will be different. It might be better. Who knows? So my counter strategy would be education, because there's not a lot of that there at the moment. And I would be not having the megaphone approach. I would be talking less and acting more, and I would be demonstrating how I am looking at ways to deal with China, as opposed to sticking the knife in all the time.
Yeah, just on that too, you're big on the diplomacy side of things, and you probably understand it. Is it diplomatically sound for the Labor Party to be conducting conversations with China, re-trade and direct discussions with the government? Is that something that China regard as diplomatically sounded? And is it Australian-wise, would it be allowed for an opposition to be talking directly to or behind the government's back about policy?
Well, you know, I don't think that China would really be that worried about that. Remember that we seem to think, and this is, you know, many Australians that haven't been to China, which there are many, we seem to think that we are the centre of China's world, all right? And when you get to China, Rob, you know, Australia might get a couple of lines in a newspaper once a week, all right? We are not the centre of their world. They are the centre of our world. We talk about China all the time. We, like this interview, you know, it's in the newspaper every day. So, you know, would they be that concerned about it? Well, probably, you know, it probably doesn't rate hugely on their radar. We seem to think that we are so up there and that, you know, we're so important to China. China is dealing with, you know, so many other countries in the world. And I think one of the main things with this is that we have never had to deal with a country that is a global power that is so different to us. Mm. You know, different language, different culture, different political structure, different way of thinking, different understanding about power, different understanding about human rights, different understanding about a lot of things. We've mostly had to deal with places like America, you know, the United States, you know, powerful countries in Europe like, you know, the UK. So, you know, this dealing with, you know, with a country that is so different, and we are just not ready for it because we're not educated.
No, it's going to be a really interesting issue. I'd love to talk to you again early or mid-January and see how things are going. We may actually have an election campaign started by then, but I think it's going to play out without doubt. And your knowledge and experience is going to be needed to help us work our way through it. Leonie, thank you so much. You've opened up some doors of thought already, and hopefully in people's minds you've planted a seed about the importance of Australia and the importance of China to Australia and vice versa, because some people can easily be confused by all that, but I think you've given us some clarity there.
Well, that's good. And, you know, as I said, this is not about, you know, turning Chinese. This is not about, you know, Chinese people turning Australian. This is about merely understanding. You don't have to agree with it. You know, I'm sure you've got friends that have ideas that you don't agree with, but you're still friends with them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just about understanding. That's the important thing.
Sure.
Because it's very easy to be given information that you take as fact, and you just need to take your time and work your way through it, because it's not necessarily always as it appears.
Exactly, yeah.
It's very important. Leonie, thank you so much. We look forward to our next chat already.
Sure do.
And in the meantime, thank you for your support during 2021. Have a wonderful festive season, and we'll talk to you next year.
You too. All your listeners have a very safe and happy and great festive season. Look forward to talking with you in 2022. Thank you, Rob.
No worries. Leonie McKeon, all the very best. She has given us a bit of clarity on issues re-China. We're going